All right, Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads men to repentance? So we've been pressing this in, that the way God wants to lead us to repent, or the word repent means to change your thinking, change your mind. The way God wants you to come to repentance is by hearing the goodness of God. Hearing the goodness of God. Hearing how good God is, instead of, if you don't change, you're going to burn in hell. Okay, that is not the gospel. The gospel is the good news about Jesus. Now, is there a real hell? Yeah, absolutely there's a real hell. And without Jesus, we choose to go there, and we choose Jesus. God doesn't send anybody to hell. We make a choice. And so that's why it's important for you and I to evangelize, to tell people about Jesus. And so hopefully we had opportunity. I got an opportunity to just talk about Jesus to the AT&T lady on the phone last night. It was so great. I enjoyed that. And so really sweet lady. I mean, she just, oh, precious. Anyway, so Matthew chapter 7, and we've been talking about this. We mentioned this last week, verses 9 through 11, Matthew 7, 9 through 11. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a scorpion? Okay, and so God's not like that. God's not like that, okay? If you have a need, God wants that need to be taken care of. If you're needing food, he doesn't want to give you a rock. You know what I'm saying? All right, continue on. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good gifts to them that ask him? Pardon me. So God wants to give good gifts, give good things to you. There's good gifts. Everybody say good gifts. All right. So God's got good gifts. And then it says, your Father which is in heaven will give good things to them that ask. So God wants us to give good things. Then we read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. It says, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so we mentioned this difference yet last week, that there is a difference between gifts and rewards. Gifts you do not earn. We do not earn gifts. Gifts are given by a giver just because the giver loves you, the giver wants to honor you, the giver wants to be a blessing to you. By no merit of our own does a giver give gifts to us. However, rewards come from our actions. Rewards come from our pursuits. And so there are rewards. People say, well, you know, I don't believe in works. No, I don't believe in works for salvation at all. But the Bible says God is a rewarder of those who pursue, seek him. And so our pursuit of God is going to come with rewards. Now, why? Why? Because he said so. Just simply because he said so. In James chapter 1, verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Variableness. That is talking about that God is not bipolar. Now, a lot of people think, well, you know, God's mad today, God's happy today, well, God may bless me today, or you know, kill me tomorrow, or whatever. Okay, that's bipolar. People are mixing up the mythological stuff with the real stuff. You know, the Greek god Psyche, you know, where we get our word for psychology and all that stuff, it was a freak. I mean, just freak. I mean, just if you study that stuff, it's just crazy. That's where we get the word psyche from, all right? God, the real God's not like that. God is not bipolar. He's not happy one day, mad one day, ticked at you one day, pleased with you the next day. And so God is even-keeled. That's why he wants us to practice or exercise being even-keeled as well. I am working, working, the key word is working, I have not arrived, I'm working at being more patient with my kids, because, you know, this whole homeschooling thing, so I'm exercising, I feel like, now the key word is feel, I don't know if it's a fact, but I feel like I'm doing better with the kids, with all the, you know, all that stuff. Now, Keza, she is doing better. I will say this because, man, when the whole school first started, let me tell you, I was afraid. I was afraid of no COVID. I was afraid of Keza while she's homeschooling the kids, okay? That was it right there. All right. Now, I want to, let's look at a verse here. This is Hebrews 7:25. These are some of the verses I mentioned last week. I just want to drill these into you. Hebrews 7:25, and then we're going to get into some cool things. Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he is able to also save them to the uttermost that comes unto that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. That word uttermost, God is able to save to the uttermost. That word uttermost means complete, whole, and entire. Well, we know that, again, he saved us from our sin, but we miss what else he saved us from. And so that's what our whole series on redemption is, because Jesus paid a price to save us from our sin, from sickness, and from poverty. And so there are some things that religion has pushed wrongly into us that we've got to make sure to fix. Now think about this. I believe it was in the 1500s, somewhere in the 1500s, that Martin Luther recognized that we don't get saved by works. It is through grace alone, by faith, through grace. Grace through faith. Yeah, grace through faith alone. Grace means that God did something on our behalf. Faith means we believe what God did. Okay, grace always refers to something that's already been accomplished, and all we have to do is take what's been accomplished by faith. And so Martin Luther realized that, and that's where all that happened. We talk about the Great Reformation and all that kind of stuff. Imagine, we went 1,500 years without knowing a vital, vital truth. So my question is, how much more truth is there still to learn? We have our Bibles, but, you know, again, the Bible is alive, and so there's still things in there for our learning, for our increase, all right? So he's able to save the uttermost. Now, here's where I want you to look at. Look at Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Somebody say, you finally preach out of Revelation. Yeah, but it's not what you think. I'm going to be blaspheming that. All right, so watch this. This is awesome because this is where I want to get to today. I want you to see this because this is going to change our life. This is going to change our whole view of our awesome Father in heaven. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. It says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are created." They are and were created. For Thy pleasure. Everyone say pleasure. Now, a lot of people say this. They say, when you ask, what was the reason why God created man? And you get all kind of answers. You know, if you've been in church long enough, you get the religious ones. We're here, we were created to glorify God. Or you get the other side. We were created to get folks saved, evangelize. Well, all those are good. All those are good. But there was a reason, an actual reason why God created you and I. And this tells us right here. It says that that God created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Everybody say pleasure? All right, here's what this word pleasure means in the original Greek. The word pleasure means the result of one's will. Now that sounds obvious. If you want something you can create it, if you desire it, then you'll create it. There's stuff in my house I wanted, so we create. There's a lot of good food we created the past couple weeks now, hadn't we? As you can tell, I think it's like 5 pounds. I weighed in 5 pounds of increase. Yeah, increase. Anyway. So the word pleasure means the result of one's will. So he willed you. He wanted you. Nobody here is an accident. You might have been a surprise, but not an accident. All right. So the word pleasure means the result of one's will. It means design. Now, this is the actual meaning. So when we are talking about this word pleasure for his pleasure, he's talking about, we're talking about what it really means, the picture of what this means. So the word pleasure means the result of one's will. It means design. It means purpose. So God, you were designed for God. You were designed. You were an image on the inside of his mind, and he designed you exactly the way he wanted you. Now here's a good example of that. You can write down Genesis chapter 1, starting at verse 26, where it says, "We were created in the image of God in his likeness." And if you look at those words in the Hebrew, it literally means exactly like God. Exactly like God. So here's a confirming verse on that right there. All right, so the design. What was the design of God? Just like him. Just like him. Purpose. He created with purpose. Listen to this. The word pleasure is an expression or inclination of pleasure toward that which is liked. It is an expression or inclination of pleasure toward that which is like. You see, God saw you and I before you were born, and He saw that you and I were going to give Him great pleasure and great satisfaction. And He saw you on the inside, and He thought, oh, wouldn't that be great to have some of them? I mean, think about that. You know, I'll never forget when Keys and I, before we got married, we kind of had a plan about when we wanted to start having kids. We were 5 years later on that, but we had to believe God. Let's put it that way. And so 5 years later, or 10 years, well, I think we were married 11 years when we had our kids. And so, but while we talked about getting pregnant and talked about having kids, man, the thought of it, you know, I would have dreams of little kids. I had dreams of, matter of fact, I had dreams, I was, you know, Mackenzie was our firstborn by 2 minutes, and I had dreams of daughters before I had dreams of sons. So it didn't surprise me that she was the first one. But I just had dreams, and I think, oh, I just can't wait. I'm so excited. And you know, just the thought of the kids, and, you know, and back then, before I had kids, I wasn't crazy about baby stage, but I enjoyed every bit. I enjoyed every bit of it. Now, the first about 6 months was a blur, so I don't remember, you know, sleep deprivation, you know what I mean? Now I know why sleep deprivation is a viable torture, you know what I mean? It was torture. Okay, so back to this right here. It says here that pleasure is an inclination, an expression, an inclination of pleasure towards something which is liked, that which pleases and creates joy. You see, you are something that pleases God. You are created because you are to be something that pleases God and creates joy. Now, I just got to tell you, because you think, well, how does that even fit? I'm an adult. I'm a grown man. And so what does that even mean? All right, you remember, you know, maybe you had nephews. If you don't have kids, maybe you have nephews or nieces or grandkids. You know, you're watching them play out in the yard, and you're just giggling because they just do some goofy things. And it just brings you joy. Some of the crazy, I love seeing the Facebook memories from our kids, you know, on Facebook, you know, the memories of the day, and some of just the goofy things, and it still tickles you. It's just, you know, you look at them, you're like, oh, you know, the other day we were someplace the other day, and don't laugh. you know, there is no secrets in my house. We have to really guard ourselves these days, and we live very public lives, and so anyhow, we were someplace with someone, and I just popped out some videos of Max when he was a kid, some of the cute things he would say, and we were just doting again over some of the cuteness, over the silly, goofy, silly things. He had this little electric snot sucker thing for babies, you know, to suck the snot. Instead of the bulb, they have an electric one, and so he put it in his nose, and I think he was like 3 years old. He talked so cute, little high-pitched voice, and I said, dude, I said, you're going to suck your brain out, and he goes, what's a brain? I'm like, how do I explain that? So anyway, I forgot how I explained it. But anyway, it's cute. So we do, all right, as grown men and women, we do goofy things. And I'm sure God laughs at some of our goofy. I know He laughs. He's got a sense of humor. But again, when we are enjoying ourselves, God gets pleasure in our enjoyment. You know, Jimmy got a brand new lawnmower, and he gave me his other lawnmower. It's like an expensive lawnmower. Thank you very much, Jimmy. And so the blessings of the Lord, woohoo! And so, you know, Jimmy is enjoying his zero turn out in the yard. You know, God looks down and just he enjoys Jimmy enjoying his toys. You know, yesterday I did a little bit of planking, had to side in one of my ARs, you know, and I know God enjoyed watching me enjoy my toys. And so God still enjoys you enjoying things. You know, you may have hobbies or things you like doing, and God enjoys that. You say, well, how does God get glory out of that? He gets glory because you are enjoying a life that He gave you. You're enjoying the blessings that He gave you. Kind of like our offering verse this morning in Deuteronomy. You know, God gives us the power to get wealth. And when you begin to enjoy things, and oh, isn't God good? We had somebody gave us a pontoon. Well, I'll just say, somebody blessed us with a pontoon boat. You're watching. And so, man, we enjoyed that thing. And, you know, we got blessed with it, didn't have to pay for it. And, I could just see God smiling. And we only use it literally a few times. And then wound up getting rid of it and selling it. But when we used it, I believe God enjoyed us enjoying a pontoon boat. Now I don't, you know, I'm not the guy that, well, you know, I'm going to be gone every Sunday on the lake because I got my pontoon boat. You know, I did have somebody say that. Now, Pastor, don't let that pontoon boat cause you to backslide. I'm thinking, I'm the dead gum pastor. You think I'm going to skip church to go fishing on Sunday? Come on. And so you just never know. You never know. All right. So back to this right here. Are you kind of seeing this picture here of pleasure? You were created to give God pleasure. He created you. We were created to be a treat for God's enjoyment. We were created to be a treat for God's enjoyment. Think about that. I mean, my natural mind is like, how, God? But you know what? When we enjoy the things that He gave us and acknowledge that He gave us those things, God's like, yep, that's my boy, that's my girl. They're playing with my toys I gave them. Yeah, they're enjoying what I blessed them with. I mean, think about that. How is that wrong? You see what I'm saying? Oh, well, you know, you shouldn't talk about all the good things. You should be humble about humble. Humble is sharing what God blessed you with. That's what humble is. You got some nice toys, and then you bless somebody with your old toys. Yeah, man, I'm just blessed to be a blessing. What do you think that is? Humble. Pff, golly. All right, Psalms. Psalms chapter 8, verses 3 through 5. When I consider the heavens, the work of my fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you're mindful of him? The son of man that you visited him? For you have made him a little lower than God and have crowned him with glory and honor. You've heard this word before, this passage before. We talk about it quite a bit because we've got to realize that God created you and I just below himself. Now, I know King James reads it differently. It says we're created below angels, but the word they created from is Elohim, and that word is God's. That word is God. And that makes sense because Genesis 1:26 tells us that we were created in the image of God, not the image of angels. I don't know why King James did that, but anyway, he did. But we fixed it. We got it figured out. I want you to see a couple words in this passage here. It says that what is man? This is the angels talking. This is David looking back in the spirit realm in the past and seeing the angels talking at the creation of man saying, I've never seen a man before. I've never seen a man. What is a man? But then it says here, what is man that you're mindful of him? Now, this word mind means to mention, to recall, to think about. So in other words, God is up in heaven. Look at him, man. Look at him. Look at him. He's recalling. He's mentioning you and I. Look at him, mate. Look at this. Look at Adam. Isn't he cool? Isn't it awesome? And it's the word mindful means to recall. It means to think about, to think on. It means to be remembered. See, God hasn't forgotten you. God hasn't forgotten me. God's remembering us. But you know what he wants? He wants us to remember his covenant. He wants us to remember what he already said. All right, so the word mindful means to acknowledge. It means to make known. To make known. God wants to make known you. Make you. All right, now, write this down. Write down Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. I don't think I wrote the verse down, I don't think. Let's see. I didn't write down. Job chapter 1. I know it's chapter 1. Where Job is talking about the angels of God going back and forth into the heavenlies, the spirit realm, not the place heaven. You know, the Bible talks about three different heavens. The heavens where the birds and the airplanes fly, the heaven where you go when you no longer on the earth, the place we'll live forever. And then the third one is the spirit realm, which is all around us right now. There's angels and demons and all kind of stuff taking place. There's increase, there's good things. And so this is where this happened, where Genesis or Job chapter 1 took place. And the Bible comes up. Bible says that Satan came up with the angels into the spirit realm, and God says, "Boy, what are you doing here?" Satan is talking, and God says, "Have you seen my boy? Have you seen my son Job?" You see, everyone thinks that was God giving Job up or saying, "Hey, why don't you take your best shot at Job?" Then nowhere in the Bible does it say that. This is what God was doing. He was mindful of Job. He was thinking, oh man, you got to see my boy. He is awesome. He loves me. He honors me. Now he got some problems with his words, but you know, hey, God's not mentioning all your bad things. God's talking about your good things because it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. So God didn't mention that Job is messing up with his mouth and in fear, you know, calling things to him because of his fear. He was mentioning that, man, Job, look at my boy. He's just so awesome. So that word back in Psalms chapter 8, mindful, that's what it's talking about. The word mindful means to recall either silently or verbally. So God is talking about you. I didn't know. My dad, he's not one of these guys that really dishes out compliments very quickly or very easily. Or at least to my knowledge, he wasn't. And so, but then one time I was with some relatives and he wasn't there with me. And we were chit-chatting with them and they start telling me, oh yeah, so here you're doing this and you're doing this. And I'm thinking, how do you know that? You know, this was before Facebook. Like, how do you know that? Oh, your dad brags about you all the time. And I'm like, really? You got to be my dad? Are you sure it's not my mom? No, but it was. And so, but God does. God brags about you in public. He brags about you behind his back, just like he did about Job. That's why the devil hates us, because God brags about us, and that's why we get attacked. But we don't have to stand for his attack. We know the wiles of the enemy and all his junk. All right, so back to this verse 28, or Psalm chapter 8. It says, you're mindful of him. What is the son of man that you visitest him? All right, now the word visitist, that's a good King James word. That's a good old word there. But look at the Hebrew, what it means. You visitest him. It means to attend or pay attention. You pay attention. Why are you? You don't pay attention to angels, Lord. I mean, why are you paying so much attention to this man and this woman? So the word visitest means to visit. It means to search out. Hey, Adam, where are you? God's walking in the cool of the day. Adam, where are you? But then Adam hid because he was naked. Do you know the reason why God sent Jesus to come down and clothe you and I in righteousness? Whose righteousness? His righteousness. The righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. We have the righteousness of God so that we can be clothed so that God can commune with us and walk in the cool of the day while you're at the ranch, while you're at work, wherever you might be, in the car, driving down the road, so God can talk to you, so God can fill. That's the whole reason why. That's the whole reason why. So the word visit, it means to search out. It means to visit, to give attention to. The referred refers to someone paying attention to someone. It means to do them good. That word to visit us means to do them good. Now listen to this. Pay attention to someone. It means to pay attention to someone. Do you know that when a visitor walks through the door and we pay attention to them, do you know that's us acting like God? When we acknowledge, that's why it's real hard to walk into a store, not smile and say hi to everybody. Because when we walk in, the Spirit of God walks in. And so why not be friendly? Why not give them attention as if they have value? Because they do. If we have value, which we do, then they have value according to God as well. Are you seeing this? You see, this is huge. This is huge. God loves us so much that the angels couldn't even conceive. What is man that you pay attention? You're looking for man. Does this explain the Garden of Eden? This explains what God was doing, what God did, and why God couldn't visit him anymore. And now the righteousness of God through Jesus now clothes us. That's why the Bible says, put on Christ. You're wearing the righteousness of God, a robe of righteousness, the Bible says. That covering is so that you and I can get back into fellowship with Jesus. Now I'm gonna end with this verse. And we might pick up with this next week. Luke chapter 15, verse 31. Man, and this is it. This, I'm telling you, this verse has been stewing in my spirit all week long. All week long. There was a bunch of verses I didn't get to, but God talking about how we are preordained to be adopted as sons. God preordained us to be adopted as sons. There's several scriptures. You can look this up this week. The word partakers. The word partaker means sharer, fellowship. God created us to be a sharer in his covenant, a sharer in his goodness, a sharer in his blessings. This is the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, verse 31. After the prodigal son came home, they killed the fatted calf, brought the robe, brought the signet ring, brought the sandals. And then the brother who didn't leave comes to the dad and says, hey, dad, What's the deal here? He went off, blew all his money, and you restored all that money he blew back. And then you gave him your robe, and you killed the fatted calf. I have been here the whole time, and you've never done anything like that for me. And then look what he says in verse 31, Luke chapter 15. And he said to him, Son, you are ever with me. All that I have is yours. All that I have is yours. You see, God doesn't take pleasure in all of the goods he has. That doesn't bring him pleasure, that there are streets of gold and gates of pearl. He takes pleasure when you and I are experiencing all that he has. And so all week long, I'd wake up in the morning, I'd go to bed at night, Michael, all I have is yours. Oh, but God this, and I don't, you know, I don't have enough. All that I have is yours. Do you know why it's easy to be free and to freely give the possessions that we have and one has? Because all that I have is his. And so if he says to give something, it's not a big deal because it's not mine in the first place. I heard a great, great minister say this one time. He said, God spoke this to him, I believe, what he told, what he said. He said, all that you have is mine because it will be required of you one day. But then he said, all that I have is yours because it might be required of me one day. You say, all that God has might be required? Yeah, absolutely. You might require something that he has. And we do. We do require what he has. We require all that he has. But what I'm saying is God, this is the prodigal. So this is an image of God's relationship toward you and I. All you have to do is ask. All that I have is yours, son. I know I'm rewarding this son that did all this crazy stuff, and I'm so happy that my son was dead, and now he's alive, and he's back home. You know, we're not here to slap him and judge him and put him in detention because he left and blew all his money. That's not what I love my son. I'm just glad that he's home. You know, I'm sure he learned a lesson. He drug bottom, and his belly was dragging the bottom. You don't think he learned something about that during that time? You think he needs punishment? He's been punished. You see what I'm saying? He's been disciplined on his own. His own life caused discipline to come on him. But God says, all that I have is yours. And if there's something I believe God wants you and I to hear from the depths, man, from the bowels of God, very simply this, God would say this, and hear this as you're hearing it from God. Daughter, son, all that I have, it's yours. All that I have is yours. Amen. Let's stand this morning. That is a picture of the goodness, the grace, and the mercy of God. Wow. All that he has is ours. You know, I've got three specific pastor friends that I call my covenant ministry friends. And the reason why is because if I need something, man, they will send this Mevo camera that we got here. One of them, I mentioned to him, you know, we were, you know, about what we're doing, and he says, man, I got this Mevo, I'll send it to you. And I our first Sunday, we used our cell phone, and then I texted him. I said, man, is that camera still available? It was there. I want to say by the middle of the week that camera arrived. He shipped it right away. What am I saying? You know, he recognized that didn't belong to him. That belonged to God. Now, I know that doesn't belong to me because somebody comes along and the Lord says, give it away. And I say, give it away. So, we sow. You know what I'm saying? You know, that's why. Listen to this. And I'm getting ahead of myself. We're going to start talking about finances, about how God good is, how the covenant of increase that we have. But y'all remember when Palm Sunday, Jesus was coming to town and Jesus tells them, hey, I want you to go so-and-so place. There'll be a donkey over there. Untie that donkey and bring it to me. And if they say, who needs it? What are you doing? Say, the master needs a donkey. I've heard people say, well, I can't believe Jesus is stealing that donkey. No. That man most likely was a covenant man. And so everything that man had was God's. And so all he needed to know was, you're not stealing it. Oh, that's for the kingdom? Oh, that wasn't mine in the first place. I was hanging on to that. I was hanging on to that until Jesus needed it. I don't need it today, but that's good. Take it. Dude, take it. It's not mine. I was just hanging on to it. We call that a steward. Remember all the parables about the good stewards? That's all that is. And so I believe God wants to begin to do some greater things in our life because we recognize that all that he has is ours. Amen. Let's bow our head. Father, I thank you that all that you have is ours. And Lord, it started with Your righteousness that you have, now it's ours. So, Father, I thank you that you gave us a covenant of righteousness, a covenant of grace, a covenant of mercy. And today, Lord, we receive. We receive that grace and that mercy and that righteousness today. Father, I thank you that your desire is to bless us and reward us and to gift us. Why? So that you can take great pleasure. Just like a parent or a grandparent or somebody with children enjoys watching them play. Enjoy watching the kids have a good time. That's where we got that in the first place. Would you just enjoy watching us enjoy ourselves with the good things? And Father, today, I believe that our hearts are getting conditioned to receive the good things of God. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, you know, one of the first things that we have to do is enter into the Father. In other words, if we've never made God our Father, you know, you hear people on the news and stuff say, well, you know, we're all God's children. No. To them whom you submit to, those who submit to God, that's when God's your Father. I've heard people outside of our church say, well, you know, you're still our pastor. No. People even in the church, if I'm not pastoring you, I'm not your pastor. You know, that's just kind of how that goes. And so, so the first thing to do is just come into the fold, into the family. And so if you've never invited Jesus into your heart and given your life to the Lord, then this morning we're going to just pray a prayer. And I believe if you'll pray this with your heart, we're going to enter into that family. And so just bow your heads and just you can repeat this after me. And you on watching live or watching in syndicate or whatever, you can say this also. Father, I recognize it's your goodness that gives me the desire to come to you. I thank you for your forgiveness. I repent of my sins and I receive your forgiveness. Jesus, come into my life. Make me new. Make me a new creature. Father, today I declare I'm your child and you're my Father. In Jesus' name. Now, we prayed that prayer, and I believe many people made God their Father today. But today, I believe if there's one thing I want to close with is this. And we'll make this declaration here in a moment. But we've got to start seeing ourselves as God's own children so that we can recognize when God says something like, all that I have is yours. We will recognize that really, that's to us. That's not a little nice, cute little story on a book, you know, not a little kid's sermon or whatever. That is to us. All that he has is ours. So as we close this morning, I want you to make this declaration. Father, I recognize you are my Father. I am your child. You created me so you can have enjoyment. And you created me to enjoy your goodness. Today, I believe I enter in to what is yours. Not by my works, but by your grace. In Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all receive that this morning? Hey, I love you guys. Y'all have a wonderful week. You on Facebook, have a blessed week. And we look forward to seeing you next week.